What up?
Bass.
This is the Fire This Time podcast,
episode 72.
And we are so happy to be here once again. My name is Sonny Ture.
My name is Akita G.
And this is our first podcast of the year 2023. So of course, we wish y'all, you know, the best of the new years. But before I say too much, we're going to keep a tradition even in the new year. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to pass it to my mans right here, Akita G. Word, welcome to word, people out word. Righteously, my brother.
Word. Welcome back, y'all. Welcome back. Thank you for coming and enjoying this nice New Year's, not day, but first episode of the New Year's. As usual, like, share, subscribe, you know what I'm saying? Leave a comment for a show or something like that, or any type of idea that you got going on your mind. And we'll definitely try to take those things to heart and into mind, and because we look at that shit. Yeah, we look at that shit. And by the way, hoping everybody's safe out here. We came over some wintry weather, but it's been getting a little nice up here where we at the last couple of days. But in some other places, the snow is hell, so be careful when you're driving, folks, because we at that time of the year. But to get on with it, what we gonna get into today, Aki?
So yeah, we got a few topics, you know. Of course, we're gonna discuss the Tory Lanez trial and verdict that just recently took place. We're also going to touch on something going, you know, a prank going around on TikTok, social media type, you know, amongst the younger generation. And I almost had to jump through my phone and whip Angela Bassett's son off some bullshit I seen, Aki.
Get your ass over here.
I almost reached through the void on his ass. But we're going to get into that. But first, we're going to start off with this week's fire. And for this week's fire, we want to talk about international issue, Aki.
A little pan-Africanism,
pan-African nationalism. At least maybe something approaching it, right? So this takes place in Zimbabwe. And, you know, through the research and our pre-production meeting, Aki, we've seen that the mining industry and the prospect of, you know, the mining industry's future in Zimbabwe is at a historical height right now, with dozens of different metal or rock related minerals that are valuable on the global market.
Coming out that motherland.
So, and one of the most prominent among them in Zimbabwe is lithium. Now, if you know what lithium is, you know that it's used and recharged. You're probably listening to something powered by a lithium battery right now.
Right now.
You know, whether it's your cell phone, your laptop, you know, lithium-based batteries. I mean, that's rechargeable batteries. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, our phones, our controllers, our remote, you know, and so forth.
PS5 controllers.
Right.
PS4 controllers.
So, you know, there's a constant need for lithium.
Yeah.
And it's a growing demand for lithium. So, you know, one thing we noticed through our study is, you know, many European groups, based companies, one of them named Red Rock, Arcadia. We've seen a number of different ones. In the past 12 months, we've seen the uptick. Even when they have on their YouTube channels, they're being interviewed, these white companies, about the tremendous success they've had early on, as they have now reached into the Zimbabwe lithium game, right?
Yeah.
And
boasting of their product profits.
What's typical of these groups is they'll come in and dig up the lithium and get it out of the country quickly to process it in their country.
Yeah.
Right? And, of course, this is something that harms Zimbabwe's economy. I mean, because do you think these people that are, you know, doing business in this way, are they paying the appropriate taxes?
Yeah.
You know, coming in and taking the resources of Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
But doing so in a way that does not benefit primarily the Zimbabwe people.
Mm-hmm.
So what Zimbabwe did, and this is this week's fire aspect of it, just last week declared that they are banning the export of raw lithium, unprocessed lithium.
Yeah.
Meaning all lithium will at least have to go through its initial stages of processing within Zimbabwe.
Guess that means it's like it's process of refinement.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Cleaning it up.
To get it to something usable by these companies,
there
right?
There we go.
It's a long, labor, energy intensive, resource intensive process. But, you know, taking that, you know, and making it that way, I mean, you force these companies, these groups that are now mining lithium, they can't just take what they mine and ship it out the country real quick.
Yeah.
Now they have to engage in one of the factories, facilities, for lithium processing within Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
And this is something that keeps that mineral, that resource within the borders in a way that, you know, is more economically beneficial.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, when they pulling shit straight out the land and then snatching it out and then taking it to other places and going through the processes of refinement and making the product usable, that's employing people in whoever country they coming from or whatever community or company they coming out of. That's a that can become a very dominant industry for Zimbabwe, you know, because I'm in all support of black people, especially African black people on the continent, controlling the resources of the continent, just like I'm in support of us controlling the resources of our community. We should be controlling the resources that's coming in directly out of the planet Earth on the continent. Zimbabwe, you know, though, has always, they've had their history with the colonial powers, but they've always been sort of leading, you know, forward and, you know what I'm saying, on trying to get independent from them. They've had some setbacks before, but I'm glad to see them make that first step. Hopefully other countries do that. If you can do that in countries where, you know, you think about the west coast of Africa with these diamonds and the gold mines, and even in the Congo with major resources that you have down there. That's what happens with, you know what I'm saying, dealing with European powers. They come there, if not try to claim the land that they had when they were colonizing it, they'll come over there or colonize the industry. You know what I'm saying? So like a lot of places in Africa ain't necessarily been colonized out, you know, in the same way we would think as in old days. They colonized the industries. Thus, they colonized the country. They make the country independent or economically dependent on them. You know, they give you the jobs that they want to give you over there in that mining business, but the shit come out your land. You know, so, you know, shout outs and kudos to, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Zimbabwe.
Right, right. And this is as Zimbabwe is undergoing some sanctions by the international community.
Yeah. And some of that's hurt them, you know what I'm saying? Because they probably would have made this move a long time ago.
But definitely something we're going to keep our eye out on. Next up on the docket, though, for us to discuss our key, Angela Bassett's son. You know, of course, Angela Bassett is, you know, the queen mother of African-American actresses.
Yeah.
It seems like at this point, well-deserved. I mean, it's hard not to love Angela Bassett in whatever role she's playing.
She a great actor.
And, you know, she's worked with Chadwick Boseman, the late Chadwick Boseman, on the first Black Panther film. And, you know, she was, of course, in the most recent one as well.
Yeah.
Both of those films also featured one, Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
Close friend, co-worker, peer, you know, fellow actor alongside Angela Bassett.
Yeah.
I'd imagine just them working closely together, just seeing what I've seen from the outside of their demeanors, it's hard not to see Angela Bassett probably being like a mother type figure.
You know what I'm saying? Older in the game, you know what I'm saying?
You're going to be around somebody like that. I mean, and they had some great scenes together in that first Black Panther.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But
oh,
anyways, nothing's wrong with Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
But this, her son did a TikTok prank. So from the film, the video I saw, this is being filmed by Angela Bassett's son.
Yeah.
16-year-old. And he aims the phone at his parents and says, "Mom and Dad, did y'all hear? Michael B. Jordan, dead at 35. And of course, Angela Bassett reacts how you would expect any friend or loved one to react. And she's saying, you know, you can imagine.
Yeah, like, what? You know?
No, please. You know what I'm saying? And she's, you know, of course, frantic, you know, looking up the news, coming to see the phone. You know what I'm saying? And you know, we don't even see the prank get revealed. It's as if the son didn't realize his mother would react like that.
Yeah.
And of course, there's an added layer. I think the TikTok trend was more so people telling their parents that, oh, this celebrity who you don't know.
Yeah.
You just, you know, you're entertained by.
Yeah.
Passed away and getting their reaction.
Yeah.
That's one. That's a wicked thing as well to me. But this is another level of wicked.
Yeah.
What? Because just because
you know they got a working relationship, and you know this man's still living.
Right. Right.
Like, you know they know each other.
Right.
Then,
so
you
know that to bring that level of pain and panic, I would be hurt, and I would put hands on anybody.
Yeah, that's
an
ass
in the moment that took my imagine somebody take your grandma to that type of friendly
that's
level.
That's an ass whooping. That's an ass whooping right there.
You're gonna get slapped. You gotta get slapped. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I advocate violence in this situation.
Yep. Messing with my emotions.
And, you know, it really, for me, Aki, as I, you know, jump off and let you hop in here, like, for me, it really just highlight the type of age we in.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was a vivid example of where the youth, the young generation is on their empathy scale. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
On their ethics scale, on their cult in. These people are not encultured, you know what I'm saying, appropriately. And how can somebody in Hollywood, if Angela Bassett's not taking her son to the actual black church, you know what I'm saying, or, you know, actual black institutions and having genuine relationships, you got to think capitalism, celebrity, advanced capitalism. These things are dehumanizing, disuniting. You know, we have cell phones, but we're less connected.
Yeah.
And this is an example of that. What do you think about this, Haki?
I mean, this is just a total... this shows sort of how social media has, you know, did some major, like, this dismantling of whatever's left of them. Like, in certain ways. It's not the only thing that's contributing to that. But that we play with death... like, how bored do we have to be to create things like this? You know, granted, it does seem something generational. You know, I was tripping more about the actual apology.
What do you think about his apology video?
I'm going to keep it real. I felt that his apology video looked like somebody put their hands on him. Because it looked like it was immediately after him shooting that. Like, and like you just got your shit together so you can get on here and do this apology.
It was probably after they seen all the kickback from it. Because you think Angela Bassett not on TikTok. You know what I'm saying? Like, her, she probably didn't even know her son posted that immediately. You know what I'm saying? And plus, you got to, like, decompress.
And I'm thinking about just me. Yeah, I'm putting hands on you. Like, say what you want to say. That's not revolutionary. That's not progressive. You know what I'm saying? That's not our ancestor. First of all, no, I would never accept that. That's not our ancestral culture. You don't disrespect people like that. Even if you was in a traditional African sense, you would have got your ass smacked.
Now, just imagine,
for playing games like that.
I feel bad for Angela Bassett just because, like...
It's her son, yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? People know this shit.
You know him. You know for a fact you raised a little asshole.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you raised that a little
asshole.
A little
yeah.
devil. You know what I'm saying? Like, a little soulless motherfucker.
And you got to think, we look at Angela Bassett as, you know, like, at one of the highest integrity levels of, you know what I'm saying, womanhood, and she's displayed that. I'm not, you know, taking nothing away from her. But yeah,
I mean, it shows you celebrity
and privilege,
and privilege is probably
being raised in privilege.
It's probably a hindrance to real human connection.
Yeah, she very much is all of those things. But then it's like you raised a child, and you did, and you got a husband. You know, your daddy was there. You know what I'm saying? So you know, child raised with privilege, and there's nothing wrong with having some form of privilege if your people, you know what I'm saying, they earned the right for you to, you know, get the best education and all those other things.
So I think it's a class thing on one hand, but it's also, I think it's an example of a single family can only do so much. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And of course, a rich family might be more isolated, but even a working class family is relatively more isolated. You know what I'm saying? And yet, like, a single family's influence on a child, even if it's that child's family, you know what I'm saying, is competing with what's going on in the world and what they can view on social media.
Yeah.
As a depiction of the world, yeah. As a portrayal, not a very true or precise portrayal.
Yeah.
So we know social media is not a precise portrayal of yeah. all society, but it, the portrayal can really, I guess, where, you know, these young people that are taking it in.
I mean, I would say like this, when you put it in the aspect of that, let's think about the hood. And the hood is very, that can go fly easier because a lot of us don't know these people. We don't know Michael B. Jordan. We don't know, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, you coming in the house and that telling your mama that, you know what I'm saying? That's a different scenario versus, you know, mama know him. You know what I'm saying? You know mama know him.
You can never play a trick on your grandma.
Like, about, yeah. Go and tell your grandma mama died.
But then again, we seeing it.
But at the same time, though, like, I think the inner Negro tells me that, like, nah, yeah, you know, we know people do some stupid shit, but I don't think we'll go that far. The inner Negro want to say. Conscious man inside of me is like, nah, these niggas will do it. They'll pull that. And like, but in the reality, in the hood though, that should be real. There's consequences for fucking with people's emotions like that. You know what I'm saying? You may get some hands put on you for playing with somebody like that. With if somebody dear. But we have enough sense and courtesy to know you ain't gonna say that about his grandmama, you know, his grandmama's living. You're not gonna say that, you know what I'm saying? You're not gonna do that to them because you know they living. When people don't know and have an actual personal relationship towards this person, that's a little different. So I think it affects probably some of the people in the hood, a lot of people in the hood, a lot differently with this prank. But for this mother, that shows you that privilege does not give you morals. Privilege doesn't give you morals. It don't give you culture. It don't give you values. Privilege don't necessarily mean you got all of that. You just got privilege.
Status.
Yeah.
Status don't give you those things.
No, yeah, it don't give you that. It don't give you that.
Especially status conferred by a capitalist system.
Yeah.
A vampire system.
I mean, don't get me wrong. If you were raised with status, which comes with a little bit of privilege, which comes with its own privileges, you're going to naturally... I would see that probably being a dominant type of aspect on you. Especially when you start talking about black families. Because black people who got money, when they do get money and a lot of it, they are very isolated. You know what I'm saying? It's not like they are a part of a dominant black community like that. They normally have to live in neighborhoods where mostly white people live. You know what I'm saying? They normally have to do business in places where mostly white people do business. You know what I'm saying? And they have to do it by themselves. So if they're in the room where the power is, they the only one in the room, whereas Arabs, Chinese people, Koreans, white people, Russians, and all of them, they in there as groups. Men function, have some type of power. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of isolation that comes with having that type of money. And if you raise your kid around that, you know what I'm saying? They live in the white neighborhoods. They go into white elite private schools. You know, they go to a nice mixed, you know what I'm saying, university. It ain't like they hopping into HBCU or something like that. You know what I'm saying? They adopt the values of the dominant society. You know? They're not around us or around the roots of the community to catch that real, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, we don't do shit like that around here. And who the hell is around him when he told somebody, like, yeah, man, I'm just pranking my mama. Like, now I don't think that'd be a good idea. Don't your mama know him? Yeah, your mama know him. I seen the movie. Your mama know him. I don't do that.
Just because Angela Bassett is who she is, she's who she is because who she was raised around.
Yeah.
We're not just talking about her family. Yeah. The community that she was raised around. Yeah. And I know that just because I pick up on it. In my experience,
yeah,
and how we were raised,
yeah,
you just know this,
yeah.
But Angela Bassett's son, given her status, was not raised in any type of community resembling what Angela Bassett and her husband likely were raised in,
yeah,
with a real African American cultural grounding. You know what I'm saying? Based on our traditions, our worldview
of values.
We have a separate worldview. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And I'm going to say this. I would think a person that is white, and you take it and make it one of their actors, and they will act together, they're going to have a problem with that.
For sure. No, I completely agree.
You know what I'm saying? They're going to be pissed off about that. This is sort of a generational thing.
And I think it's something related to the hyper-individualism afforded by capitalist society.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which is steamrolling so much.
Yeah.
It wants to break down all of our commitments and what ties us together culturally.
You have to remember, capitalism is about exploitation. And it's about exploiting all things, even freedoms. It exploits all things. Everything is for sale in capitalism. At its height, when it gets to the point, after a while, they said it back in the day, they're going to be trying to sell air. They're going to be trying to sell water. They selling that shit. So, you know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, man, it's real. You know what I'm saying? Capitalism, you know what I'm saying? You know, even if you don't believe in the name, it's the nature that it breeds, that individualist, you know, it breeds a nature in society and people. And we in a capitalist society, so it's going to exploit everything. Exploit your family ties. Exploit your mother's reputation. Like it's just like any type of angle. And I don't want to go there because I don't know if that's what the angle he came from. But
no, I think you're right.
It's just about exploitation to the fullest. You know?
No, I think you're right, Aki. But, you know, just because we're short on time, let's go to move to the next topic. And I say that, you know what I'm saying, thinking that the next topic is a heavy one, especially for where our community is right now, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, as we talk about the Tory Lanez trial and, of course, the incident that occurred with him, you know, I guess primarily Megan.
Yeah.
Of course, but that's just really the headline. We know that, you know, digging in, Kelce was a significant player in this.
Yeah.
But, I think it's worthy we spend a little bit of time on, you know, from our point of view in our, you know, following of the case, from multiple points of view.
Yeah.
Vantage points as far as reporters and others that was in the courtroom. You know what I'm saying? I think it's important to say just real quick up front that the real meat of this in terms of its relevance is the narratives that are at play within the discourse in reaction to it.
Yeah.
Related to black male-female unity, black feminist politics, in terms of, is this an empowering moment? What's the relationship between black feminist politics and the carceral state and incarceration? You know, what's the relationship between all these things and abolition? You know, is this cause for celebration? Is this case one where black women should feel heard?
Yeah.
I think if you believe everything that Megan's team and the district attorney, if you believe everything that was said by them, you would say yes. You know, you would say yes. But, you know, just looking, anybody, I think, giving it a casual glance beyond that sees some trouble, you know. Once you look beyond the ideology, I mean, then you get down to, you know, the only unbiased witness, the white neighbor whose driveway they was close to, who saw the shooting, said that, you know, the shots came from the woman that was fighting Megan. Mind you, Megan's team, the prosecution, Megan on the stand even, never mentioned that a fight with Kelce. Mm-hmm. Kelce never mentioned it. Pled the fifth. Got around it.
Yeah.
The only unbiased witness saw two women fighting and the one and Kelce as the shooter. That's where the shots came from. It wasn't Tory Lanez leaning out the car saying dance bitch to Megan trying to walk away and defuse the situation. That was clearly a lie. Now, is that a defense of Tory? No. There's nothing Tory did that night to defend. As far as, you know, trying to support him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah.
that shouldn't have happened. Mm-hmm. But as far as trying to, you know, have this where black women see are heard through really a botched investigation.
Yeah.
And the very typical story of a black man being railroaded by the U.S. judicial system.
Yeah.
That's not a conspiracy to... Oh, by the way, Akeem, one last thing.
Yeah.
It's not a conspiracy to say that black men are treated unfairly and are found guilty of crimes that they're not guilty of, given reasonable doubt.
Yeah, yeah. We got a whole history of that shit.
That's typical.
Yeah.
So black women are find value, find political utility, and a black man getting the typical treatment by the U.S. prison system, that's backwards.
I mean, I'm gonna keep it real. You know, the ladies that you're speaking of speak to a certain class, speak to a certain ideology. These are the ones, you know, online doing the blogs and all that other shit. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, when you talk, when you take them and then you put the regular everyday people, the niggas, you know what I'm saying? I mean females at that. I interact with a lot of folks, you know, and you'd be surprised how in the hood, we sort of look at it different. Like, I met people who wasn't really interested in it, like they wasn't paying no attention, or the people that was like, man, he ain't shoot that. And I'm talking about females. Females like, he didn't shoot. You know what I'm saying? Something seemed shiesty off the rip. And they was getting pretty much some of the same information that we was getting. But I think it's really not... What bothers me more is how this was all constructed on a narrative.
I think headlines.
Yeah, headlines. But headlines with some ideology, but also protection of the brand. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've always looked at Megan Thee Stallion sometimes being used. Once after this, you know, this happens, certain feminists get a hold of it. Of course, they hype it, you know, and it was a hype situation. In the process of doing that, it becomes a part of now the cause. You know what I'm saying? So now you're placed in a cause. You know, record labels, your music, you know, awards, all types of things. So, you know, it's also a protection of a brand.
Yeah, no, I agree, Aki. And you know, real quick, I'm going to come back to the brand, the Roc Nation brand.
Yeah.
That's a thread running throughout here.
Yeah.
But I do want to mention the physical evidence real quick, because just so there's no confusion, I mean, even the physical evidence doesn't point to Tory.
Yeah.
In the way that the prosecution is saying.
Yeah.
Gun residue was found on Tory and Kelsey.
Yeah.
They didn't even say in court who had more gun residue on them.
Yeah, and that gun residue could have been from being in close proximity,
right,
to when the gun fired.
Right.
You know.
So, you know, the neighbor saying he saw Kelsey shoot, and then the narrative that Tory came and tried to grab the gun from her while she was shooting. You know what I'm saying? And the idea that there was 5 gunshots heard, pop, 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 a pause, then pop, pop. That pause could be Tory trying to intervene and 2 more shots going off. But those 3 shots, you know what I'm saying, from just what I've seen from the court, you know, in my opinion, those first 3 shots were definitely Kelsey. And, you know, and the 2 in quick succession afterwards, after a brief pause of less than a few seconds, you know what I'm saying, wasn't Tory grabbing the gun, going around the other side of the car, leaning out of it and saying, dance, bitch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's too many inconsistencies there.
I mean, his fingerprints wasn't on the gun.
The DNA evidence, that's the other thing I want to mention. Mm-hmm. They could find no DNA evidence of Tory on the gun.
Yeah.
On the magazine or the gun itself.
Yeah.
They could find none. But they did know that there was a female's DNA on the gun. Mm-hmm. But they didn't test Kelsey's for DNA. Hmm. They didn't give the DNA test like they did to Tory.
Yeah, on
the
they
gun.
Didn't give. They
because
didn't,
because
they
didn't, that, of course, that's why we say it's a botched investigation.
Yeah,
they didn't even hear from the white neighbor, who he pinpointed as the shooter that night, because there's these biases at play.
People are paid off.
Well, even if they're not paid off in the moment, there's still biases at play from a police force looking at a black man in this type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I think we should be able to admit that there's biases at play.
Oh, yeah.
That
oh, yeah.
the investigation in that moment could have been done better.
Yeah.
And there are unanswered things because, you know, officially because of that. Now, also, I mean, that, look, the person that did the DNA swabs on the gun said, you know, was asked, does it seem like this would be Tory's gun, given that his DNA wouldn't be found on it?
Yeah.
And the person basically said that, nah, I mean, we would expect to find his DNA on the gun if he loaded it, if this is his gun.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You would expect to find his DNA.
Yeah.
But no, whoever his DNA was, they wasn't tested. It was likely Kelsey. And why do I say it was likely Kelsey's gun? EJ is the hairstylist and stylist friend of Megan Thee Stallion, testified on record that he saw guns in the possession, in the bags of Kelsey and Megan before. He saw guns. So the idea that, you know, so the idea that, that Tory was even found guilty of possession of a gun, you know what I'm saying? Of course, possession maybe in the moment, you know, if he grabbed a gun and shot into the air, because that is something also the white neighbor said that he saw.
Yeah.
It doesn't line up with those five shots that were recorded. You know what I'm saying? There's controversy around the five shots. Like, judicially, that was being looked at.
Yeah.
He said he saw Tory at another time firing above his head wildly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know how true that was if that nigga was just caught up in the moment. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, if the police did an investigation that night, we were relying on a person that wasn't asked questions by the prosecutor until months after the fact that he should have been asked before, the night of, really.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's get back to the brand real quick as a way to end this off. So, we know Roc Nation is up in this. You know, Tory's dad after the trial, you know, along with, I think, maybe Tory's niece or somebody else that was there, maybe younger sister. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But his family, you know what I'm saying, a younger girl, you know, they was all calling out Jay-Z, Roc Nation.
Yeah.
You know, for their involvement, but also the crooked prosecutor's office.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, these things are not conspiracies. We know in the legal system, it's about who you know.
Yeah.
Relationships.
Yep.
That's very important. You know what I'm saying? The type of lobbying that goes on. This is the a foundation. This is a hallmark of U.S. politics.
And I mean,
lobbying and moneyed interest.
And you always have to remember that the judicial system is a misandric system.
Facts.
From its inception of American creation of America, it's been a black misandric institution on all levels, from prison to court to jail. The prosecution and all of that.
Right.
So, and we know this.
So Jay-Z, it's Roc Nation, you know what I'm saying? Jay-Z, somebody saying that, you know, we don't need to protest about police violence and murder no more. The days of protests are over. Now we making brand deals, nigga. That's what he told niggas, right? Look it up. Now, who's the president of Roc Nation, might you ask? Rosie Perez. I think it's Desiree Perez. I could be getting the name wrong, but look it up. It's a Latino woman, I believe, with the last name Perez.
Yeah.
Who's a former FBI informant. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
This is somebody who told to the FBI, you know what I'm saying, and wrote about it, known for it. You know what I'm saying? Famous FBI informant in that sense, right? And she's at the trial, representing Roc Nation's interest in the trial. Of course, Megan being their artist. You know what I'm saying? And she's sitting next to Tamika Mowry. You know what I'm saying? Who's, you know, of course, posted about this in the vein of protect black women, this and that. That's what Roc Nation and others, that's how they were hyping up and construing this.
Yeah.
But that, of course, never gets directed at Kelsey.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And Kelsey, you know, straight up, I mean, they was pissed at Kelsey in the trial. Because she said, yeah, everything I said about Tory doing it, she got immunity first, right? And then she said, everything I told you about Tory doing it a few months ago, I lied then to cover my ass. And I'm a plea. And then she pled the fifth about everything related to her fight with Megan. So niggas hearing that,
yeah,
know what that sound like. And yeah, she got gun residue. And she wasn't tested for DNA.
Yeah.
And the white neighbor said that he saw her shoot.
And in
and Tory is still found guilty.
And in a righteous courtroom, that would have been enough means to say, well, shit, we ain't got nothing to convict this man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But the objective and the goal was conviction.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Courtrooms having pressure, but not only biases with them that we can't let no nigga get away with this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
And
we don't want to be caught letting a nigga get away with this on our watch.
And it, for me, it's the tendency of so many. I'm not saying the majority, you know, but too many black feminists taking this, you know, given all the trouble we just laid out and saying it's a win for black women, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, and I made it an accusation of carceral feminism. You know what I'm saying? And that's a term that we need to, I guess, throw into the lexicon more. Of course, Tommy Curry has two great works, I think, that kind of are related to this topic. You know, I posted both on my Instagram. You know, one of them is just looking at how the foundations of black feminist theory, the reliance, and this is within the citations, the footnotes of these famous black feminist writers. Mm. He's going through the literature and showing how they're citing and using these criminological theories of black male deviance, you know, that's pathologizing black men, and, you know, and which casts us as, you know, seeking white patriarchal power.
Yeah.
And some old shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And these are all relying on, you know, these type of theories that, you know, are pathologizing and further entrenching these, you know, racist, misandric ideas, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
On an intellectual level.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so, I mean, I see this as, you know, a descendant of, you know, a long tradition, too long a tradition, of this relationship between, you know, feminism, black feminism, and these, you know, misandric, criminological type, you know, I guess like pathologizations of black men.
It's like a misandric kangaroo court. It's like the same kangaroo court system that was used to hang and lynch niggas, you know what I'm saying, in the South. The system, the judicial system, is a new form of lynching.
Right. So those Tommy Curry articles is Decolonizing the Intersection, Black Male Studies as a Critique of Intersectionality's Indebtedness to a Subculture of Violence Theory. And that's that idea that black men have a subculture of violence because of their, you know, yearning to mimic white patriarchal power. And they're failing to do so, so they react in a hyper-masculine, violent, aggressive way.
Yeah.
But, of course, Reed Curry's work, have a heart, have a compassion, you know, have compassion for black men in your heart, you know otherwise. So the other article is Feminism as Racist Backlash, Understanding How the Will to Dominate Black Americans Drove the Development of 19th and 20th Century Feminist Theory. So, you know, again, he's going through the origins of feminist theory, you know, and he's going through the literature, he's going through the intellectual giants, still considered that by feminist traditions today.
Yeah.
So, you know, before you dismiss the critique, you should engage with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're going to probably spend a lot more time this year on, you know, delving into that literature and getting that shit up out of here as part of our work, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I guess as we wrap up today, you know what I'm saying, 8 o'clock, you know, that time. So anything you want to add before we get out of here?
Nah, Key, you know what I'm saying? Stay, you know, stay on it. It's the new year. Resolutions in, and we'll try to get you something new and flavorful for this year. So I'll say peace.
Peace.